Welcome to this AAT podcast. I'm Andrew Walls, and in this particular podcast, I'm going to be looking at the VAT rules and how they impact on overseas businesses supplying services into the United Kingdom. We'll look at supplies to business customers and also to private customers. Since the 1st of January, the rules have changed quite significantly. The rules, as they apply to business users, have simplified and are much, much simpler. When we're dealing with supplies to private individuals, the rules are in fact rather more complicated, as we still have most of the old rules as well as some new ones. The good news is that the vast majority of supplies into the UK when we're looking at services are in fact to business users. Services as they are supplied to private individuals tend to fall within a very narrow range. Let's first look at supplies to business users. The new base rule says that supplies of services are to be taxed where the customer belongs. As UK VAT is a tax on supplies made in the UK, when we're looking at UK business customers, the supply is going to take place here in the UK. The good news is that for the majority of services, the new base rule means that the responsibility passes to the UK customer. The impact, therefore, on the offshore supplier is that a lot of the previous compliance problems have gone away. A lot of offshore businesses, which previously were registered for VAT in the UK, no longer need to be so registered. The new base rule imposes a responsibility on the customer to account for VAT using the reverse charge. Ordinarily, we would be looking at UK VAT registered businesses, but of course some small businesses with low turnover may also purchase services from overseas. One important point to remember, of course, is that the VAT registration limit of £70,000 here in the UK applies to UK turnover, but also we do need to add in any reverse charge services to that total. So, for example, you might have a small business which turns over £60,000 per year. If that was all it did, it would not need to be UK VAT registered at all. However, let's assume that it's a PR agency or an advertising company. It might subcontract some of its work to overseas suppliers. For example, you might have a customer who wants to advertise throughout Europe. They want to put adverts into local magazines or newspapers, something of that nature, in two or three other member states as well as the United Kingdom. If the UK supplier subcontracts some of the work to French, German, Italian, or whichever member state suppliers is necessary, the value of those services counts towards our UK business's VAT registration limit. So they may have a UK turnover of only 60,000, but if they've subcontracted 15,000 of that to overseas suppliers, you add that on top. You then come to a total notional turnover of £75,000, which clearly is over the registration limit. This reverse charge process, therefore, means that some businesses will become VAT registered where they never registered before. The new general rule, that base rule, the one that tells us that VAT is due where the customer belongs, applies now to the vast majority of services. For those of you who are familiar with the old Schedule 5, all of those services, the old Schedule 5 services, are included in the new base rule. If we quickly think of some of those, all of the intellectual property services, royalties, licenses, anything of that nature, advertising services, legal, accounting services, all sorts of consultants, the simple provision of data, information, financial services, insurance services, all come within the new base rule. They were, of course, within this effective base rule because of their inclusion in the old Schedule 5 rule. But a lot of things have also been added in which perhaps are new. For example, freight. Freight transport has now ceased to have its own special rule. The old rule, whereby we looked at where the goods were and where they were moving from and to, has disappeared. As a result, freight transport now drops into the base rule. This is a bit of a strange one and gives rise to a couple of anomalies. For example, under the old rule, if goods moved from, say, London to Edinburgh, because the supply, the transport, all took place within the United Kingdom, United Kingdom VAT was automatically due. However, now the new base rule tells us that what we need to do is to look to the place of belonging of the customer. If the customer, for some reason, was based in France, then there would be no VAT on that particular transport, even though the goods stayed within the UK all the way through their journey. This apparent anomaly is one of the ones that HMRC have spotted and highlighted, but have done nothing about at this stage. The one which they have done something about is the one where we consider goods moving around completely outside of the EU. This one sounds very odd. Let us take, for example, the concept that we might have a UK supplier of freight transport moving goods from, let us say, South Africa to America, to the US. The goods move from one place which is outside of the EU to another. Our place of supply, under the old rule, would be the place of the actual transportation. Under the new rule, we look to the place of belonging of our customer. And if our customer was also a UK-based entity, we would have to charge them UK VAT, even though the goods never, ever enter UK or indeed EU territory. HMRC have spotted this one and have said that as a concession, they will not apply VAT in that circumstance. So where the goods never arrive anywhere in the UK or the EU, then no VAT is due, even though the law says strictly it should. Other supplies which are now dropped into the base rule would include process and repair, which historically again had a different rule, being the place of supply of the actual process or repair, the actual site where the work was done. This has now gone. Going back to our main theme, therefore, if you are an overseas supplier of services to UK business, the vast majority of services that you supply will be free of VAT because of the new base rule. There are still, however, some rules, some services, where you will have to think about UK VAT, even though you are an offshore business. Firstly, our perennial favourite, services relating to land. Services relating to land are still taxed where the land is. And therefore, if you have a service which relates to UK land, then UK VAT is due. So, for example, if you were a French building contractor and you were granted a contract to establish a new hotel, perhaps in London, then you would have to consider UK VAT registration as long as the value of your supply was in excess of the £70,000 registration limit. Of course, if you are constructing a brand new hotel, it will be. Services relating to land include any services which are clearly linked to an identifiable piece of land. As we've mentioned, it would include construction, repair, maintenance. It would include the services of an architect designing a new building. It would include the services, perhaps also, of lawyers who are involved with the drafting of contracts for lease or sale. A further category of service which would require consideration of UK VAT registration would be passenger transport. Again, the old rule is still in place. Passenger transport is to be taxed where the transport takes place. And therefore, if the UK is the place where the transport takes place, then UK VAT will be due. The main relaxation in this area is that the UK has a zero rating, which is clearly a relief, for transport of passengers in any vehicle which is capable of carrying more than 10 people, including the driver. So any vehicle larger than a minibus will be capable of being used to supply zero-rated transport. Buses, coaches, trains and aircraft will all fall within this, as of course will some boats. Our third category of service, which will require that overseas business to consider UK VAT registration, is the hire of means of transport. There's a new rule which splits hire of means of transport between long and short-term hires. The rules here mostly mirror the new base rule, but there are some anomalies which you need to be careful with. For cultural services, services such as actors and actresses, the old performance heading, which would include perhaps training, education, conferences and exhibitions, that sort of thing, continues to have its old rule. I say it continues to have the old rule, but the wording has changed slightly. For all of these services, the old rule suggested that you had to charge VAT in the location where you performed the work. As a result of this, there was always a lot of debate as to whether someone who organised an exhibition from their office in London had to consider Spanish VAT if the exhibition actually happened in, say, Barcelona. The new rule is still a performance-type rule, but is rather more specific. It states not that VAT will be due where you do the work, but rather where the event actually takes place. So if you organise an event that takes place in Barcelona, even if you do all of the work in London, Barcelona is your place of supply. Turning that round to our non-UK supplier, if they organise an exhibition or a conference in London, then they need to charge UK VAT under the new rule. Incidentally, that rule will change from the 1st of January 2011, so do be careful. From 2011, the rule changes such that all of these services also fall within the base rule, unless there is an admission charge to the event. That's mainly there to ensure that VAT is collected where the members of public are paying to enter an exhibition or something of that nature. Our next category of services which require UK VAT registration is catering. Catering historically, whilst most people would have considered it to be a supply of services, has had a rather ambiguous status. Some people have in fact tried to argue that catering is a supply of goods, being the meal, the actual food that you are consuming. Catering has now been codified within the legislation, and it is quite clearly specified as a service. And the place of supply rule says that catering is to be taxed where the catering itself is performed. So broadly speaking, it's the place where the catering is presented. The slight quirk to this will depend on where the catering takes place. The slight quirk being that if you are supplying catering on a boat or an aircraft or something of that nature, where the transportation is between one state and another, you are required to charge VAT at the point of departure rather than by reference to the mileage undertaken within the different member states' territory. We then have two further categories which have a base rule and also a use and enjoyment test. Both for the hire of goods and for telecommunications services, we have the base rule applying. In other words, you will look to the place of belonging of your customer and they will account for VAT using the reverse charge where appropriate. Clearly, we are still within the context of business users. However, use and enjoyment will take precedent if it has the effect of moving the supply from either within the EU to outside of it or the other way around. An example of this would be a mobile telephone. If you provide a mobile telephone for somebody to use within the EU, then the base rule applies. The customer accounts for VAT using the reverse charge, or if they're in the same member state, you charge them VAT at the ordinary standard rate. However, if that telephone is also capable of being used outside of the EU under one of the roaming agreements, then any calls which are made outside of the EU fall within the use and enjoyment test. VAT is not due on those, the place of supply being the place of use. It works the other way around as well. Somebody being supplied with a service outside of the EU, but can also use it within the EU, will have VAT applied to that small, minor EU use. One of the other special rules which will apply will be those for electronic services. This will apply more to non-business users rather than business users, but strictly it does apply. This would include all of your downloads, could be music, video, other images, that sort of thing. It would include all supplies of software over the internet. It would include web hosting itself, web design, web maintenance, anything to do with the internet and the transmission of goods and services across it. When I say goods, I should be a little bit careful there. What I do not mean by that is someone ordering physical goods that are later dispatched through the post or some other mechanism, but rather goods which can be downloaded. What I'm thinking of, again, is books. I'm thinking about music. I'm thinking about images. The sort of thing where you could go to a shop and buy a physical product, or you could download it so that it is stored within your computer, perhaps also being capable of being printed or transferred to some other medium. The base rule that the customer accounts for VAT in their own member state applies to all of these services as well, but again, use and enjoyment takes precedence over them. When considering supplies to non-business users, the rules are slightly more complicated. The base rule is different. The base rule states that you charge VAT where you yourself belong rather than where the customer belongs. This is because it is not possible to have the customer pick up the VAT using the reverse charge if they have no VAT return upon which to do so. VAT therefore becomes due in the member state or the country where the supplier belongs. There are some areas where this could lead to distortion, the main one being the electronic services, those internet-based services being supplied from outside of the EU. Under the base rule, which states that VAT is due where you, the supplier, belongs, if you could establish your business outside of the EU, there would be no VAT charge whatsoever on any of these services being supplied. Clearly, this would be very distortive. Several years ago, therefore, a new system was introduced. If you are supplying any of those web-based services to private individuals within the EU, and you are based outside of the EU, you are required to become VAT registered somewhere within the EU and start charging VAT. Those supplying web-based services now need to consider this VAT registration process. The idea behind it was that the non-EU supplier was put on the level playing field and on the same footing as an EU supplier. However, it hasn't really worked. The EU supplier has the same base rule. You charge VAT where you belong if your customer is not in business. As a result of that, a German supplier of electronically supplied services to the UK will charge German VAT. A Spanish supplier will charge Spanish VAT. That same Spanish supplier will charge Spanish VAT to the UK, but also to France, to Germany, to Sweden, to any other member state of the EU. The special registration regime for non-EU suppliers isn't quite like that. It states that the supplier must become VAT registered somewhere within the EU. What it must then do is to charge VAT at the rate prevailing in the customer's member state. So a non-EU business supplying the same type of service as an EU business is actually at a slight disadvantage. It has to charge at each member state's rate rather than simply at the one rate in which it is established. Some businesses, of course, simply put up with this and cope with it and have to charge and account for VAT at the appropriate rates. Others consider becoming VAT registered through establishment in one member state only. For example, if we know that a UK business can supply at 17.5% to the whole of the EU, why would, say, a US business wish to register somewhere and have to charge VAT at every single different rate? It could open an office in, say, Aberdeen, and then only charge VAT at the UK rate, just like any other UK business. This sort of planning works quite simply, but also requires a little bit of foresight. A lot of businesses established themselves in Madeira right at the beginning because Madeira had a very low standard rate of VAT. Over the years, however, the Madeiran VAT rate has become more aligned with the mainland Portuguese rate and has increased quite considerably. Some businesses chose Madeira primarily because of the climate and the sunny outlook. Others decided they would go with Luxembourg, which again had a 15% VAT rate. The interesting thing about Luxembourg is that it has maintained that 15% VAT rate and therefore is at a considerable competitive advantage when compared with a lot of its European neighbours. So a business from outside the EU, supplying services to private individuals within it, needs first to look at the nature of its service. Secondly, it needs to look at the nature of its customer, business or non-business, and then needs to think about the appropriate VAT rate to charge. In summary then, for overseas businesses supplying services to UK businesses, there's a relatively straightforward process. The vast majority of services these days are caught by the new base rule. As a result of that, the responsibility for VAT almost always passes to the UK customer. There is that short list of services where you might need to think about UK VAT registration, but those will be in very specialised industries. For those businesses supplying UK private individuals, the situation is slightly more complicated. The base rule for non-business customers is different, and therefore there is a different set of rules to consider. The same list of exclusions applies to this one as well. And then, of course, finally, we have the special registration rule for electronic services. These three different categories bring a slightly higher level of complexity to supplies of services to non-business users. Thank you for listening to this AAT podcast.